So here we are after the feast, and if you think back to the feast, a lot was said about growing our fruits to help us to become better Christians. And usually after the feast, I take some time to make a checklist of things that I would like to work towards over the course of the next year and to grow over the next year. And one of the areas that I would like to see myself grow in is an area of boldness. And I find it funny because I've been needing to grow in this area for quite some time. But it's not till recently that I have found myself put into situations in life that require me to be bold and to rely on God to help me grow in this area. So what do you think of when you think of being bold? You know, what actions or people do you think of when you think of the word bold? You know, what connotations do you have of the word? And do any Bible characters come to mind? The online Wikipedia stated that boldness is the opposite of being shy. You know, a bold person may be willing to risk shame or rejection in social situations and be willing to bend rules of etiquette or politeness. And one can, of course, go too far in being bold and cross into the other ditch. And the trick, as with many areas of life, is to find the middle ground and not to fall onto either side of the road. You know, so what do we equate to being bold? And why does it matter for us as Christians to be bold or to acquire this fruit? Well, we live in an age that defies God's laws, and the people of the world seek to... It is a little distracting, sorry. They seek to please themselves rather than help others. And so if we are not careful to obey God's laws, we can lose our faith and find ourselves in a position of fear rather than of peace. You know, so how can we stay bold? Well, we have examples throughout the Bible, but for today's sermon, I would like to focus on two individuals who had great boldness and who challenged the people of their time. You know, they stood up for what was right with great power and conviction. If you turn first to John 7 and verse 21, John 7 and verse 21, and here we read of the man, Jesus Christ, who gave up his Godhead and came to this earth. Actually, let's start in verse 16. John 7 and verse 16. Jesus answered and said to them, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keep the law? And why do you seek to kill me?" Well, why did they seek to kill him? Let's continue. Verse 20, "The people answered and said, 'You have a demon who is seeking to kill you.' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'I did one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment.' And now some from Jerusalem said, 'Is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ?" So the rulers of that time sought to kill Christ because he healed a man on the Sabbath. What a terrible crime, they thought. But he spoke to them boldly in his preaching, Because he had great knowledge of who God was, who he was, and what he had to do, and he did not back down in any way. The second individual we'll learn about today is Paul. If you turn to Acts 9 and verse 26, and we know that before his conversion, Paul persecuted the church greatly. But this is after his conversion. Acts 9 and verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. So again, we see that because of his bold speaking to the people, that they wanted to kill him. Continuing in verse 30, when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. And then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And so it was, once Paul became converted and he started to preach boldly, that the church was blessed. If we jump to chapter 13 in the book of Acts, or go to verse 42, Acts 13 and verse 42, we read, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming, and they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles.'" Verse 47. "For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have sent you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be salvation for salvation to the ends of the earth.' And now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region." So Paul spoke to the Gentiles in a very bold manner, and he showed them how to be a true Christian, and he was a great light unto them. And that is our job today, to be bold, to be lights for the Gentiles of this world. And as we read, it is not our choice, but rather it is God's choice that he has called us, and we are here to do his will. And so we can see from the few examples that we read that once someone has the very truth of God, that oftentimes the result can be great boldness. And it's not a brazen boldness, but rather one of strength and understanding in the faith of Jesus Christ. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, Second Corinthians 10 and verse 1, we'll read to verse 6. read of a good way to work towards becoming bold. And it says, "Now I, Paul, myself, also pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So we see that Paul didn't lord his position over his fellow brethren, but to the world he had to be bold. He had to be strong in his conviction. And we have to be bold as we follow God's way of life. We have to be bold as we live this life. And we cannot afford to be lax in our commission to preach the word in season and to grow. But boldness comes from serving God in an obedient and faithful manner. Solomon understood this, and in Proverbs 28 in verse 1, he said, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions." David also understood this and wrote many psalms regarding this, but if you'll turn to Psalm 119, and verse 105 to verse 112. He says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart, and I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the very end." He said, although the wicked would lay traps for him and try to ensnare him in their ways to get them to their way of thinking, that by relying on God's law and having faith in them, that he could boldly proclaim the truth and know right from wrong. If you turn to verse 161 in Psalm 119, he goes on and he says, "Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. And I rejoice at your word as one who finds a great treasure." Great treasure. Now, there's nothing in this life that can outshine or even close to coming close to this precious truth that we have been given. Found a quote on the internet, and it says, this is from a man named Robert Dale Owen. It says, "Boldness and decision command, often, even in evil, the respect and concurrence of mankind." So anyone can be bold, as this author puts it. But it is often the people who are bold for what they believe that can make changes occur. Those who have put the time and effort into what they believe to be true. If you turn to 1 Timothy 3 and verse 13. Here it's speaking of the position of being a deacon in the Church of God. But there's a point I'd like to pull out here. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 13, it says, "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." You know, we don't have to be deacons to have this boldness, though. What we do need is for our faith to be firmly based in the faith of Christ. You know, we of our own selves, as Christ even said of himself, can do nothing unless God is working and living through us. For our final scripture today, if you'll turn to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. And since you are in the book of Timothy, it shouldn't be too hard to find. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, and I'm reading this part here from the NIV translation. It says, Paul talking to Timothy, "But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance," which can also be called boldness, "and gentleness. And fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you gave your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." You're talking about baptism. "In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. And command those who are rich in this world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to be good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have wandered from the truth. Grace be with you." So we have a charge, brethren, to stand bold until the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.